Good morning once again.
Morning,
Brother Holland, man. We've been missing you, man. I'm glad you're back. You're looking good, man. I told Will when he come up here, I said, you're probably gonna have to tell him who you are because it's got my name on a bulletin. He's like, I think they can figure it out. So then Holland announced him. So I appreciate that, Holland. I appreciate you. All right, y'all. We got 50 verses to get through. What are y'all laughing about? Joshua stood out and read the whole first five books of the Bible before he did anything. I mean, and they stood there and listened to it. All right, we're not going to read every verse, but we are going to be in 1 Samuel chapter 17, y'all. I like to get your eyes real big so that when it does go long, it's better than what you thought. All right. You guys have heard of David and Goliath. You've heard it. I know you have. If you haven't heard about it, read chapter 17 of 1 Samuel when you get home. Read it in detail. Read it again. Read it a couple times. Underline some stuff. Mark some stuff. Ask yourself what's going on. We're going to talk about David and Goliath today, and there's a little bit of a reason for that. We're getting ready for a revival, y'all, this coming week. This coming weekend, not this weekend, next weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. The preacher's coming from Greenville, North Carolina, from a church. He's pastoring a church called Christ Church, and he's been there for quite a while, and he's actually going to retire full-time preaching in December, after December's over, and then he's going to go off and do some other, what retired preachers do sometimes, and he's going to get involved in some other ministry. So he's coming here because we invited him, and he'll come in. He'll bring some good messages, so you don't want to miss out. How many of y'all realize that revival is for the church more than it is for anybody else on the planet? It's for the believers to get to stoke the fires of the Spirit of God in your heart, right? Get to continue to build up your faith and get you on fire for the Lord even more than you already are, or sometimes again in some cases, right? Sometimes people get burnt out over time for different reasons. Sometimes people get complacent because life happens. But if we're to be God's people and we're to be God's church, we need to continue to stoke the fire that's in us through prayer, through reading the word, through worship, through service, through everything that the Lord has provided for us to do that. The problem is sometimes things in the world or things in our life or things in our hearts or in our minds come up against all of that, right? And I don't know about you, but there's been times, I'm pretty sure I'm not the only one, but there's been times in my life where situations and circumstances have been way bigger than I can handle. Like, not even possible for me to handle on my own, for me to even survive sometimes, right? Bad things happen. And tragic things happen, and hard things happen, and challenging things happen. Well, the story about David and Goliath has a lot of different applications and a lot of different perspectives. You can look at this, and you can get a lot of truth out of this that will help you grow in your faith and help you understand not only who you are in Christ, but who God is. Hello? That's important. You won't understand who you are in Christ is until you wrap your mind around who God is in your life and what his position is and what his place is and what his desires are. You ever walked into a store or down your own street and realize you don't know anybody anymore? Everybody say yeah, amen, because everybody in our congregation is living that right now. Am I right? Because this church used to be down the road and everybody used to know everybody. Everybody, half of them related to each other. And if they weren't going to Oak Grove, they were going to some other church, and you still knew them people. Because there wasn't nobody out here in Avery's Creek but the people that grew up out here. Well, y'all know as well as I do that things have changed. Things have changed in a great way for y'all. All right? Sometimes the giants of life are not so much to attack you, but to challenge you. Sometimes the things that are hard or overwhelming or even intimidating are things that are intended for God to use for his glory. You ever think about it like that? The giants that we're facing? Sometimes we face a giant that is just intimidation. We're just intimidated by situations and circumstances. Now, if you're like me, especially us guys, we don't really like to admit when we're being intimidated by anything. Because we're men. We ain't supposed to be intimidated by anything. Right? That's just the way men are supposed to be, according to the world. Right? The reality is there's a lot of things in this world that is very intimidating. One of the most intimidating things that those of us who have been married have ever done is stand in a church and said, "I do." Thinking we know what we're talking about. And realizing deep down in our heart, we're just like scared to death. I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to be a husband. I don't know how to, for until death do us part. What if she takes that serious? Then what happens? You see what I'm saying? And then you start having kids. And the first kid you have, you're looking at that kid like, okay, there's a person right there that I'm responsible for. Right? And it just keeps going from there. And then you get to be a part of a church and you read your Bible and you realize, oh, there's some responsibility that comes with being a Christian. Comes with being a saved person. It's not just get my free ticket to heaven and I'm good to go. Am I right? You guys know I'm right about that. And everyone has a desire to please God and to serve well and to go and do what Jesus commanded us to do. But sometimes it's hard, and sometimes it's bigger than us. Sometimes it's overwhelming. Sometimes it becomes a giant in our life that we don't know if we can handle. So I want to read this a little bit. I want to read just a little bit. Because dealing with giants takes courage and strength. And the Christian, the believers, those who are saved by the blood of Christ, we get courage and strength through our faith in Christ. We instigate our faith. We exercise our faith. We depend on what we say we believe, you see. And our actions reflect our faith. Even though our thoughts and our emotions sometimes say something different. That's why it's faith, right? Sometimes you have to take a step in a certain direction, not knowing if that step is actually there to step on, because you can't actually see everything. You can't actually understand everything. You don't actually know how it's going to work out. You just know that God said to go in this direction. I think about Abraham, and when God came to him and said, pick up all your stuff and head that way, and I'll tell you where to go on the way. And he did it. He didn't try to have a meeting with God. Wait a minute, it depends on where we're going. If you tell me where we're going and so I know what to pack. No, he just packed up his family and started walking. We're going to try to look at three things with a bonus. Buckle up. I'm going to try to go fast because we started church late, just so you know. So add 5 minutes. Keep your fingers in Ephesians chapter 6 for also. First thing we need to do is we need to see the giant clearly. We need to see what we're facing. Acknowledge that it's there. Whatever that giant, it don't have to be, like for the church, it might be doing the work of the church in the community, in a group of people, a community that we don't even know anymore. Right? That's a big deal. I talk to all of you from different times. I talk to all of you. And we all say the same thing. It's a big task. There's a lot to do. We don't really know exactly how to do it and how it's going to work out, but we're trying to figure it out. Because we're all ready to love people and love God. We're all ready to tell people about Jesus. We're all ready to serve people. We're all ready to do whatever it is God puts in front of us. But we're looking at the giant. And my caution this morning is that we don't look too long at the giant. And never, ever see that God is way bigger than our giant. Verse 4 of chapter 17, The Philistines have gathered their armies for battle. 1 Samuel chapter 17, they gathered their army for battle, and the Philistines lined up on one side of a mountain, and the Israelites line up on another mountain on the other side. There's a valley in between them, and the Israelites are lined up for battle like they normally would, and the Philistines are standing there, and there it is. It's the showdown. Two armies are looking at each other. Verse 4 says, then a champion came out from the armies of the Philistines named Goliath from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits of a span. He had a bronze helmet and was on his head, and he was clothed with scale armor, which weighed 5,000 shekels of bronze. He also had bronze greaves on his legs and a bronze javelin slung between his shoulders. Right? Verse 7 says, the shaft of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and the head of his spear was weighed 600 shekels of iron. His shield carrier also walked before him. You ever think about why did this giant need a shield carrier if he's such a bad dude? Right? Carry your own shield, big boy. Right? Verse 8 says, he stood and shouted the rank. Here's what happened. In verse 8, he says, he stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel and said to them, why do you come out to draw up in battle array? Meaning, why are you lined up your whole army like we're going to have a big war? And am I not a Philistine and your servants of you the servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. If he's able to fight with me and kill me, then we will become your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall become our servants. Typical warfare, right? If you have your army and you're fighting against another army, it's more beneficial for you to win the battle and take home servants than to kill everybody. Why would you kill that which is valuable to you? So they would commonly get their best guy and come out and have these two guys fight and the winner take all. That's what's going on. Except for this is not a fair fight, because here's this over 9 foot guy who's bigger than everything and everybody, and he's over here challenging. He's like, what, am I not a Philistine? You can't come out and fight me like a man? In verse 10, he said, I defy the ranks of Israel this day. I defy the ranks of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. The language that this Philistine is using against God's army is language that a bully would use. You understand? Bully tactics, intimidation tactics, verbal warfare is what it is. And he's big enough to get away with it, to be honest with you. And he comes up and he didn't say, bring the guy out that you think is the best and I'll defy him. No, he defied the entire army of God. Mistake number one. All right. So verse 11, when Saul, look, this is God's people. This is God's king. This is God's army. You all should be offended by what happens here in verse 11. When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. You ever been greatly afraid? I have. I scared myself one time. I'll tell you that another. I already told you that. To be dismayed is not a word we commonly think about, but we probably commonly feel that emotion or feel that reaction, right? They were dismayed and greatly afraid. They weren't just a little bit scared. They were greatly afraid. I think there's a difference between being fearful and being afraid. That's what I believe. And I believe that God does not want his people to be fearful people. Jesus did not die for us to be fearful people. Being afraid is an emotion that God created us with. And if you're not afraid in times of danger, you might be foolish. Courage does not mean no fear. Hello? Courage means doing what you got to do in the middle of your fear. These guys were greatly afraid. Saul, the king, and all of Israel. Notice that all Israel will follow the leader, y'all. Gentlemen, leaders of your homes, ladies, raising your children. It was one of the most intimidating things in my life when I realized my son wanted to do everything I do, the way I did it. All his whole childhood, he tried to be me. That's what sons do in general. Until we start growing up thinking, okay, we got this, and then we go be ourselves. And if you're going to influence people, and you should be trying to influence people because you're a disciple maker, if you're going to lead people, then you need to be aware that people will do what you do and follow the way you follow them, or they follow you because of the way you live. So are we going to be fearful people, or are we going to be courageous people? All right, that was verse 11. Faith does not ignore the reality, the giant that's in the room. There's giants in your life. It's just the way it is. There's always going to be giants. There's always going to be something bigger than you that you need God to help you with. Right? There's always going to be something. Faith always sees God as greater than the challenge. Every time. Here's the challenge. Here's the giant in the room. Here's the giant in the world. Here's the giant in my life. But God is bigger than that. God's always bigger than that. I don't see how he's going to work it out, but I know he's bigger than what's going on. I know it. And right now, here we are, just to apply it to our church congregation. We're a small group of people. We love the Lord. We worship the Lord. We do everything that there is to do when we see it to do, to be the church. And we're trying to get other people to know that they can have Jesus as their Lord and Savior too. That's what it's all about. And it's challenging and it's intimidating, right? Because there's a lot of people in the world that we don't know. There's a lot of people in the world that aren't like us. There's a lot of people in the world that may not even like us. Make sense? It's a big job. It's an intimidating situation, but God is bigger than the whole situation. Now, I have heard from several people in this church about Oak Grove in the past. Years ago, several people have told me this, that there was a time when two people would show up for church. One would preach and the other would listen. Now, I don't know the details about that, but I've been told that two or three times. That's challenging, y'all. That's scary, right? I mean, what keeps two people from just packing it in? Apparently they didn't, because here we are, right? So we can either look at the giant, what ain't happening, what we want to happen but ain't happening, what's not working because we can't get it to work. All of the negative things is looking at the giant and focusing on the giant. When we're focused on the negative, we're focused on the giant. When we're focused on the God, we're focused on the possibilities. And that's true in the congregation here. Whatever the Lord's having us do, it's true in your life, it's true in your family's home, it's true in the world, right? We can look at the news, you can watch the news all day, and you will live with your eyes focused on this giant, and you will be intimidated by everything that you hear, and you will shrink back, and you will be greatly afraid and dismayed, because woe is this world, and it's all going to hell. Isn't that what you get from the news? Isn't that what you get from what the world says? God must not care about the world anymore. Well, I'm going to tell you this right now. The Lord ain't forgot about Avery's Creek or Arden or Fletcher or the whole county. He's not abandoned this community. He's not abandoned this church. He's not abandoned anybody around here. We're going to find out who we are. Hopefully, if I can speed up and get through this, we're going to find out who we were, who we are. Because when we read David and Goliath, we get done with reading it, and we get done with thinking about it, and we're all ready to go out there and be David and start throwing smooth stones and killing our giants. But I don't think that's what the Lord intends us to do. Because David was the champion for the Israelites that day. Right? Goliath was the champion, supposed to be the champion for the Philistines. A champion is one who wins the day. How many of y'all know that Jesus is our champion? We don't need no other champion. I don't need no champion in this world. I don't need no champion to go and hit my giants in their forehead. Jesus already done all that. There was a young boy once said, well, it's no wonder David killed him because he's so big. How could he miss? I mean, that makes sense to me, doesn't it? I want y'all, I'm going to read this to you. Ephesians chapter 6, just in verse 10. This is where Paul is trying to teach the church in Ephesus, and he's trying to teach them about relationships, trying to teach them about what it means to be a Christian in a world of persecution when the whole world is against you. Can you imagine the giant of persecution in your life every day? You walk out of the house, you might die because you believe in Jesus. You imagine that's happening in this world today. I know some of y'all watch the news, and it's going on around. It's going on. It's getting heavy, too. Verse 10, I'm just going to read it to you real quick. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For look, right here it is. That's what I want you to hear. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, y'all. This is how we know we're not David with a sling. We're not running out there hitting all the heathens in the forehead with a rock. That's not the goal. That's not the plan. That's not the assignment. But again, here's our struggle. It's against the rulers, against the powers, and against the world forces of this darkness. Hello? Against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you can be able to resist the devil. Resist in the evil day, and having done everything, stand firm. This is what it looks like to be courageous. Understanding who we are, what the assignment is, and where the battle is. Right? God has already defeated the enemy. Our champion, Jesus, has already struck down our giant, which is sin. Square in the forehead. The day he went in the ground after his crucifixion, and when he resurrected from the dead, square in the forehead. Death was conquered. So there's no more battle in that way to fight. Our battle is within. Our battle is to win over fear and anxiety. Our battle is to win over the intimidation factor, to not be intimidated by the big things in the world, the overwhelming task. I mean, go into a world and love people, love everybody in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's a task, y'all. That's something big. That's not no small task. That's a responsibility that you and I cannot take on by ourselves. We have to have our champion. If I can hurry up and get through this, I'll show you what it's supposed to look like. We have to remember what God has already done in order to stand in the courage. Recognize the intimidation, recognize the giant, but stand in the courage and the faith. Right? How many times have you pressed on through your faith, through your fear and your anxieties, and your courage has took over and your faith has taken over, but you're still working and you're trembling while you're doing it? Because you still know that the giant is real. And you're trusting God. God's past faithfulness is a foundation for our present courage. Hello? Where do I get my courage? How do I be strong in the Lord? How do I do that? Well, look at your track record. How many times has God saved you from this? How many times have God raised you up from that? How many times have God taught you this? How many times has God forgiven you for that? Hello? We can't add it up, can we? And how many times has God been faithful to every single promise in this Bible, in your life? Raise your hand if God's failed you. You'll be the first one. Right? Why would God fail me now? Why would God? God knows about this giant, whatever it is. It could be a sickness in your life. It could be just a stress in your life. It could be something that's up in here and only up in here. I think our people in our world today struggle with that almost the most. The giant in our own minds. The lies that Satan wants to tell you, and for some reason or another, we just keep believing it. And it's not even a real giant anymore. It's like some phantom giant that lives in your brain because you're either believing the lies of Satan, or just because we live in a world that's just so dark sometimes. And And somebody, either self or the Spirit of God, or self and the Spirit of God, or self and the Spirit of God and the church need to help us continue to bring up the courage. Yeah, that seems like a scary thing. However, our champion has already claimed victory over that. However, our God is bigger than that giant. Our God is bigger than the loneliness that makes you think he doesn't exist. Our God is bigger than that one situation that you think he wasn't around for just because your emotions got the best of you. But deep down, you know he was there. You just can't see him and you can't feel him. So your giant just keeps growing and keeps shouting out these intimidating thoughts. And you're greatly afraid and you're dismayed. And then Satan will come up behind you and say, well, what kind of Christian are you if you're just going to be afraid all the time? He'll take all of that giant and try to make you think it's bigger. He's bigger than what he already is. Trying to distract you from looking at how big your God is. And that's where the Israelites were. Saul and they were greatly dismayed. Go down to verse 34 here. In chapter 17. Go home and read this whole chapter, y'all, because you'll get the whole picture. We just don't have time this morning. Yeah, verse 34. It says, but David said to Saul, your servant was tending his father's sheep. This is what David's saying to Saul, because Saul came up and found out that Saul was offering a prize for the one who would go out there. If anybody would just get up the nerve to go out there and fight this guy and win, I'll give you my daughter, and you won't have to pay taxes, neither you or your family, and you'll have all this prize. And it's like he's trying to bribe people to step out there and try to fight this guy. Of course, David, he's bringing the cheese and crackers over there because his dad told him to. He walks up there and he's like, what are y'all doing? You're over here hiding in the rocks. And he goes up to his brothers taunt him. His brother's like, you're just so prideful. You're just here to get all the glory. You're just here. You're not even supposed to be here. And then Saul says, you're just a kid. You can't fight him. That's what the king told him. So now here we go, verse 34. But David said to Saul, your servant was tending his father's sheep when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb from the flock. I went out after him and attacked him and rescued it from his mouth. When he rose up against me, I seized him by his beard and struck him and killed him. He's not talking about a person. He's talking about a lion. He's talking about a bear. Can you all imagine? Can you all imagine yourselves sitting on your back deck? Some bear jumps up, just shows up, and for some reason decides he's going to cause a problem for you in your life or your children or your grandchildren or whoever. You're going to grab him by the throat? Choke him out, the bear. That's what David's doing. Some people would be like, he only took one. Have that one, I'll take the rest. Verse 36, he says, your servant has killed both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, since he has taunted the armies of the living God, y'all. How many of y'all realize if you're saved, you belong to God? You don't belong to you. You don't belong to the world. You belong to God. Purchased by the blood of Christ. We don't have the right to surrender that to anybody else. No giant has the right to come and take what belongs to God. Not you as a person, not you as a family in Christ, and certainly not this congregation of people who are believers in Christ. And Satan's biggest tool is to just get you to sit down and shut up. Just don't talk about Jesus. And he's over here saying, look, I've killed bears, I've killed lions. This is like a 16, 17-year-old kid talking to the king. He's like, I've killed bears, I've killed lions. I grab him by the beard and choke him out. I stab him, I don't care. Because they're taking what don't belong. Those sheep belong to my father. And I ain't going home saying that we're missing one because some bear got hungry. Ain't going to happen. Because he was given a responsibility to take care of it. And he looks across the way and he says to the king, who should know better, the God's king, right? And he says to God's king, you're going to tell me that this uncircumcised Philistine is who you're afraid of? Now, he could have just called him a Philistine. That's bad enough because a Philistine ain't worth anything. They ain't God's people. But in those days, circumcision was a mark of God's people. That's how God's people were marked. So he says, this dude ain't even set aside for God, and you're afraid of it. You're afraid of his words. You haven't even tried to fight him yet. You're afraid of him. He's not even God's man. Who is this guy? It could have been six of them out there the same size, and he would have said the same thing. Who are these jokers? And I wonder, when we have our giants, the things in our life that intimidate us or seems too big to deal with, I wonder if this is how we talk to God. I wonder when we go to God, hey, Lord, I need your help. There's this giant out there that's too big for me, and I know you're bigger than him. And it's just like, oh, I wish you could help me, kind of. Or do we go to God and say, Lord, there's this joker out here, and he's trying to do this and that and intimidate. I'm so intimidated by this, but I know that you're going to handle that. I know that you're bigger than that, and I know you're going to give me the courage by my faith to stand firm against that giant. And you're going to give me strength and guidance to get through it and get over it. Because when life hits you, and you, especially when you ain't ready for it, you're going to need that courage. You're going to need that faith. And you're going to need to be able to look at the giant and say what it is, and then look at God and smile and be like, yeah, he ain't got a chance. Ain't got a chance. And he's telling the king, he's like, this dude ain't nobody. Verse 37, he said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he'll deliver me from the hand of the Philistine. So Saul, seeing his fire and his strength and his faith, he just says, hey, go and may the Lord be with you. Like, he didn't believe it. He was like, you're like, okay, well, go out there. I don't understand why he let him go out there, because the deal was, if you send a man out here and I win, all y'all get to be my slaves. So Saul is putting his entire kingdom in the hands of this 17-year-old bear-killing, lion-killing, cheese-carrying boy. This is a pretty intense situation, y'all. And here's some of our problem, y'all. This is our problem, self-included. We sometimes separate ourselves and our lives in 2025 from these kinds of events that happened thousands of years ago, as if God is different then than he is now. And if I'm standing up here as your preacher and I say, you believe God's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, everybody be like, amen, hallelujah, and praise the Lord. Right? We turn into a Pentecostal church or something. Y'all be like, woo-hooing. Which would be great, but it's like, but we don't live it that way sometimes. Sometimes we get intimidated by our giants and we shrink back in fear. Don't forget your lion and bear stories, is all I'm saying. Everybody's got a bear story and a lion story. You know? And it's not for you to so always testify to somebody else and help them know our God, even though God may use that. Your bear and your lion stories are so you don't forget that God loves you and God cares for you and God is your strength and our Savior is our champion. And that you don't have to win anything. All you have to do is stand firm. In courage and strength in the middle of your fear. Right? I'm not telling you don't be as scared of stuff. I'm saying don't live in that. I was scared to death when that hurricane happened, y'all. For a long time, we was up here working. I was scared every single day. And I think y'all were too. Because we didn't know what was happening. But didn't God show up and show us how big he was? And he is? And still? Isn't he still showing us? Isn't he saying, this is nothing for me to deal with? Don't forget your lion and your bear stories. So what is it? It's time to step in the valley, y'all. It's time for us to step into the valley and life. We can't keep hiding in the caves. Can't keep hiding behind the rocks. Can't keep thinking somebody else will go out there. I think in today's world, in today's church, body of Christ, all the believers around the world, I think sometimes we fall into this trap thinking somebody else will go make disciples. Somebody else will go love that person who's weird. Whatever weird is to you, right? It's easy for me to love some barbecue, eating, truck driving, hammer swinging person because they're like me. It's easy for me to love them because they're just like me. I love myself. So why wouldn't I love them? I think the Lord wants me to sit down with a tofu eating, salad eating, vegetable sandwich making, you know, and love them in the same way. You see what I'm saying? Just go. But it's scary. It's intimidating. I don't know how people are going to react. I don't know what's going to happen. What if they don't love me? What if they reject me? What if they hate me? What if they try to kill me? It's a real giant, isn't it? And Jesus even warned us. He said, you go into the world and love people, and they're going to hate you because you love me. They're going to hate you because of it. He's telling you there's a giant out there. And the world, society, is going to keep telling you to shut up. They're going to keep telling you until they intimidate you into doing it. That's why I keep saying every now and then I'll bring it up. It's like, you know, we're being persecuted and we probably don't even realize it. In this world, in this country, in this community, there's more persecution going on, and it's so subtle that we don't even see it, and it's working. You know, Paul and some of the other guys, they got drug into court right after the Spirit of God came on, and they got drug into court, and all the religious leaders, they're all with their long beards and their nice robes, and they're standing there all proper, and it's like, you need to stop talking about Jesus. And they're just like, I think we'll go with God. Sorry. And they run outside and start preaching again. And then the Romans come in. It's like, you need to stop talking about Jesus. You're disrupting society. We're not having it. Shut it down. And they just kept right on preaching. And it's because of that, because of their facing their giants in such a way that shows people that God is real, is why you and I are saved in 2025. They're not just stories in the Bible, y'all. This is history about how you and I got to be saved. Because if everybody would have shut it down because of the giants of the world, we wouldn't have heard the gospel. And the gospel is, Jesus is our champion. He has killed the giant of sin, and we no longer have to be intimidated by that. We can repent, and we can be saved, and we can serve the Lord well. Jesus said to go into the world and make disciples, didn't he? He said, go into the world and make disciples, and I'll go with you everywhere you go. That's our assignment. Our assignment is to rescue people from the slavery of sin. That's all. We're not to fight the enemy. We're not to kill anybody. The battle is not against flesh and blood. We just go tell people they can be saved. We go tell people that Jesus has killed the giant. Praise the Lord. Let me show you something real quick, and I'm going to be done. Verse 48, I think it is. Then it happened when the Philistine rose and came and drew near to meet David. David ran quickly, listen, he ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. He wasn't piddling around, he wasn't scared. He just ran up there and said, we're about to handle this. And David put his hand into the bag, because he had already picked up the 5 stones, remember? Put the hand in the bag and took a stone and slung it. And it says he struck the Philistine on the forehead, and it sank into his forehead. So he fell on his face to the ground. Now, I remember back in the day when Mike Tyson was in his heyday and everybody was paying pay-per-view to watch Mike Tyson hit somebody 3 times and knock them out, right? We had a big old thing. We had a bunch of people over there. We were outside playing football and doing stuff, and then all of a sudden it was time for the fight to start. So it was like the Brown Hornet. Everybody come running in the house, and they said, if you don't know the Brown Hornet, it was Fat Albert's cartoon. They go running for when that come on, it stopped the cartoon. And okay, so we go in there, and we all sit down. We got our snacks, and we're all around this TV, and then pow, 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 and it was over. And I was like, really, that's it? I was like, that's it? I was waiting for a fight. I was looking for something a little bit longer than that. And here comes David. He runs out there. He picks up 1 stone. Whoosh, Everybody within eyesight was watching. And I'm just imagining this noise of whatever he was, this giant was wearing, that his armor made as he just fell. And this cloud of dust comes up. Verse 51, then David ran and stood over the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out in a sheath and killed him and cut off his head with it. When the Philistines saw this, their champion was dead. They fled, y'all. They fled. The Philistines' champion was dead. They had no more strength, and they fled. Our champion has already won the day. Jesus has already conquered death. We have nothing to fear. We have no more fear of intimidation by death. What do we have to lose? Here it is, right here. I'm going to close it with this right here. Verse 52. The men of Israel and Judah arose and shouted and, look, pursued the Philistines as far as the valley into the gates of Ekron. And the slain Philistines lay along the way of Sherem, even to Gath and Ekron. You see what happened? You see what went on? These guys, Saul and his army, God's people, God's man, God's army, who's supposed to be, I mean, if you remember when they went into Promised Land, God said, I'll give you the Promised Land. I'll give you the enemies. You just do it what I say. And every time they didn't, they would lose. But when they did, they'd just get the victory. And they should have never got the victory. So here they are, hiding in the rocks because they're afraid of Goliath. David comes out there and hits him with a rock. He falls dead. And suddenly they're just jumping up and running. It's like, oh, victory. Now they're on fire because they saw what God can do. They saw through David what God can do. And I'm just telling you, because we have Jesus as our champion, as our Lord and Savior, it's time for us to get out and run into the community and tell everybody. And we're not conquering people, are we? Because people who aren't saved, y'all, they're still hiding in the rocks, and they're still being intimidated by the giant of sin. And all we're doing is running out into the valley saying, we got victory. The giant is dead. You can be free. That's all you're doing. And you do it by, sometimes you just say hi to people. You know, you could love somebody just by smiling at them. Go in there and get your little Dr. Pepper at the gas station, and you smile and you say, have a great day, and you walk out. Especially if you go to the same place every day, you can do that enough, somebody's going to say, here's that guy that smiles at me all the time. It's going to make a difference. Sometimes you might get a chance to say, how can I pray for you today? That's challenging, isn't it? Walk up to somebody you don't know and say, you want me to pray for you? You ever done that? How about if I pray for you? Especially if you see somebody having a bad day. Somebody broke down mentally and physically, spiritually, sitting on the side of the road crying. How many times do we walk up to them and say, is there something I can do for you? How can I pray for you right now? And then pray for them, by the way. I know. It's challenging, isn't it? It's really challenging. Many, not y'all, this don't apply to y'all. Many folks think it's the preacher's job to go pray for people like that. But y'all don't do that. But many people do. I love you and the Lord loves you. And y'all know what we're here to do. Y'all know what the Lord's put us all here to do. And y'all know how big of a task it looks like it is. Right? I don't understand it the way some of y'all do because I didn't grow up here. I wasn't born here. I don't know everybody. So everybody out there is the same to me. So I don't have no excuse, do I? My giant ain't the same as yours. But our God is the same. He's just as big and just as great. I love you. And the Lord loves you. If you're not saved, I suggest you consider it, because you're just living in, you're living under a dead giant who's intimidating you. Let's stand together and we'll sing. you want to be saved, now's the day to confess Christ and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins so we can continue to serve the Lord well.